Visit guntalk.com/shop for the latest Gun Talk merch, t-shirts, hats, stickers, and more. Standard capacity, Biden tactical, all kinds of fun stuff to wear at the range and tell the world who you are. Visit guntalk.com/shop.
So you've made it through 3 hours of the regular show on terrestrial radio, and you wanted a little bit more, so that's why you found the Gun Talk After Show podcast, where we save all the best things that we can't say on regular radio. Now here's Tom, Michelle, and Jim for the Gun Talk After Show.
After show time, we're having some fun around here. We got Michelle Cleveland, we got Jim Kinsey. There's no one else we need. Hi, guys.
Covers all the bases, huh?
That's right. Michelle, you've been talking with everybody today, haven't you?
I've just been chit-chatting away. They've kept me busy.
Solving problems? Yeah, you don't need to talk to Tom. I got this.
Well, just questions to help you.
I know you do. It's okay.
Oh, my.
Helping out people. They're just looking for an answer. So that's they don't care where they get it. They'll probably just soon get it from you. So that works out great. Jim's over there thinking, is this guy ever going to stop talking?
No, I'm just wondering how long we can string Mark and Greg along here. They've been pretty patient.
They have. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's grab Mark out of Mooresville, North Carolina. Hey, Mark, thank you for your patience. You're on the after show.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
We're great. What can we do for you?
It sure sounds like you're great. Hey, for the last 2 weeks, you've been talking about dry firing 22s. I'm not a long-time shooter here, only about 3 or 4 years now, mm-hmm. And I've always been told you're not supposed to dry fire a .22.
Yeah, I know.
Help me out.
Well, you know, when I talk about dry fire, I'm not talking about specifically .22s. I'm talking about, you know, use your deer rifle, dry fire with that. But if you want to dry fire a .22, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And you'll hear people talk about, you know, you can do this and you can do that. Actually, some of the more modern 22s, if you look in their instruction manual, they'll actually say that you can dry fire with those. I guess if you were concerned about, and people say, well, you can peen the edge of the barrel or something, the chamber, you could just put an empty case in there for dry firing. That would work.
Okay.
They also make little practice snap caps for those, too.
That's true. They do have snap caps for .22. That's a good point.
Okay. I wasn't aware that they had snap caps for .22 long rifle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure do.
I'll get some of those ordered up then.
There you go. And that takes care of the issue. I mean, I don't worry about it, but dry firing is so beneficial and so important that I just think if you're serious about it, you got to be doing it. And the returns on the investment are almost immediate. Within a week or two, if you dry fire every night, say 100, you know, 100 to 500 a night, which is, doesn't take any time at all, you'd just be amazed at the improvement. There is literally not a competitive shooter who doesn't dry fire. Not one. You know, and if they're doing it, there's a reason. It's because it makes them better. So simple as that. But I appreciate the call and asking the question because a lot of people are worried about the dry firing 22s. So I don't worry about it. But then again, you know, I'm just me. And Michelle, you're right. You can get the snap caps for your 22 and now stop worrying about it. There you go. So, okay. Let's see. This is interesting. Let's grab Greg in Montana. Hey, Greg, thanks for your patience. This is an interesting question. Go for it.
Yeah, I've listening. By the way, I'm thinking right now, I'm listening to your last hour of the show on the radio, but you're already over it.
I am very talented that way. We can do live and record it at the same time. It's amazing.
Okay. All right. Okay, I've got this, what is it, a Peretta is the brand name, I guess, an Italian reproduction 1858 Remington in 44. And okay. I'm wondering about it for the subject you were talking, home defense and stuff like that. What is this thing going to, you know, is it going to go through somebody all the way or is it going to go through the wall or, you know?
Yes and yes. The question is, why would you do that? Why would you want to use a black powder revolver, cap and ball revolver, for home defense?
Well, it depends where I've got, you know, I've got some staged in different places, you know, other, I've got my my 357 and a 38 and stuff like that, but, you know, mm-hmm. staged in different areas, you know, and this one here happens to be an extra gun that I've got loaded, and I've got it someplace that if I needed it real quick, it would be quicker to get to it than it would be to get to one of the other ones.
What kind of powder are you using in it?
Gosh, I think it's that American Challenge. It's not real black powder. It's that. It's the
substitute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the substitute. What's his name? Jim Shockey.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's kind of a green color, and it's sulfurless,
you know, I mean,
so it doesn't go bad.
Look,
you know,
a lot of people have been shot with cap and ball revolvers, and they certainly work. It will do whatever any other pistol will do. You're throwing a lead ball out there at, who knows, 600, 700 feet per second. It will work, but, you know, what is the definition of work? There's so many better choices. It's a single-action revolver, not great. I don't know how much smoke and Michelle, help me out, how much smoke do those substitutes kick out? Because I sure wouldn't want my house full of smoke in the middle of that.
Right, and I don't know, you know, on that scenario or with that powder, I'm not certain how much smoke you would actually get from them. I don't know.
Okay. It seems like it's one of those, you could do it, but why would you?
Right, and then the other question is, too, you have unspent powder.
What do you mean?
Well, because there's always, black powder is an explosive. So,
right.
You know, I mean, if you're throwing extra sparks of anything over the, I just wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, you're throwing a lot of fire out there.
Yeah,
And
I don't know if that's applicable.
Yeah, Greg, have you ever shot that thing at night?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen the sparks.
I've got a 54 caliber rifle, too, you know, a Hawken rifle. And I've shot it at night, or I had somebody else shoot it so I could watch, and it throws about 3 feet of flame.
Yeah.
And 20 feet of sparks.
That goes back to what Michelle is saying. Do you really want to be lighting that firebomb off in the middle of your house?
Yeah, only in the case of an emergency.
Well, that's why, you know, you already have other guns. I would work with those. I would put that aside and make that my range gun, my fun gun. I would not. The other part of it is you get into the whole, gee, how am I going to explain this one on the witness stand? Why did you feel it necessary to set him on fire?
Because he was in here threatening to do bodily harm to me.
There you go. That's right. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I got it. Yeah, I mean, it's your call, but, I mean, and will it work? Yeah, it'll work. It wouldn't be my choice. Okay?
Yeah, I was just wondering about the other question about going through walls and such.
I've shot a lot of buckshot through walls. It's basically the same kind of thing.
Right.
You could expect that to go through at least two walls of double sheetrock and maybe three walls of double sheetrock. So, it'll go a while.
Well, I shot years ago a piece of a header beam, you know, like a 4x12 header beam, a scrap piece that I had, and the thing bounced off of it.
You're not using enough powder.
Didn't even go in.
Well, you know, I mean, it all depends on how much powder you got in there, I guess.
Yeah, you know, 20 grains is what the load is, you know.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Anyway.
I would just say that, like I say, I think it's an inherently bad idea from beginning to end, and it's kind of fun to talk about it, but if I'm betting my life on it, there is a reason that we moved away from those for serious work. There's a reason we went to cartridge guns. They simply work better. They're more efficient. So I'll leave it at that. Look, I appreciate it. I got to run, Greg. I appreciate the call, sir, but, you know, at a certain point, you're going, okay, I've had my say on this. I wouldn't do it. I mean, they're fun to shoot. Good Lord. I mean, Michelle is the expert on this, but it's fun to send fire and smoke and flame and stuff all out there. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a great picture if you catch it at just the right time.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, and now that we have these the slow-mo on your phone, you could do the slow-mo video of that fire coming out. That's
right?
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about our dumb crook of the week, as well as some other things, because that one, I just love that story. We'll take a quick break.
Enter Gun Talk's Holiday Hunter Giveaway for your chance to win an amazing prize package from Bushnell, Silencer Central, and Smith & Wesson. One winner will receive a Smith & Wesson MMP-15 rifle chambered in 6mm arc, a Silencer Central Banish backcountry suppressor, and a huge prize package from Bushnell with scope, rings, GPS, and binos. Enter through December 30th at guntalk.com/win. Restrictions apply.
Kimber Rapide 1911s. Heart racing. Jaw dropping. Hard hitting. If their appearance alone has this effect, imagine firing one. Three highly customized handguns, the original Rapide 1911, the Rapide Dawn, and Rapide Scorpius, each with a look and personality all its own, and performance to match. Get a look and find out where to get yours at KimberAmerica.com.
Jim said we're back, so we must be back.
Must be.
He's got the control over there, right? Must be.
It's a control
Did
thing,
you just
man.
Love the story? Did you love the story of our dumb crook of the week?
That's
I mean,
great.
He goes to rob a Walmart on Shop with a Cop Day, and there are 40 deputies in the store. It's like, yeah, dude. They, you know what? There are some people that need to be arrested for their own protection. just You are just too dumb to be out in public. Simple as that. God.
Well, I was listening to the news last night, which I haven't done in quite a while. But they were talking about the fact that one of the states list the people that are out on warrants and that they're still looking for and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And one of the people posted back, well, what about me? Because his name wasn't on this list. And they're like, oh, yes, you have two warrants. And they went and got him and arrested him.
Hey, I'm on the list. You didn't list me.
Right? You forgot about me.
Oh, God. Okay, that may be dumber than our Walmart guy.
Oh,
my gosh.
It was something.
Oh, God. You know, funny, but these guys are still dangerous. So you got to, you know, I don't know. I've been reading a lot about carjackings. And it's weird how you, when you read these stories, one I just read, it's like you're thinking, okay, alarm bells, this doesn't sound right. Okay. Three people go and carjack this car and rob this guy and they get $9,000 off of him.
What?
And you're going, okay, this was targeted. This is like one gang of drug dealers robbing another drug dealer, I think, is what was going on here. It just, I mean, not that it's illegal to carry around $9,000, but it's unusual.
Right.
You know, just, wow. It's like I only do that on every other Thursday or something.
Oh,
like
well, now you put it out there. You're going to have to change your day.
Yeah, I only do it every other Thursday at 6:02 a.m. at the corner
right.
of Main, and I drive a black. Yeah.
That's right. And I'm on the list. Why don't you have my name on the list? Oh, God. That's hilarious.
Oh, it was something.
It was something, that's for sure. Oh. Yeah, same about these carjackings. You know what? You got to have it in your head.
Oh, it's.
It's so wrong for us to think if someone wants my car, I should let them have my car.
Or anything.
Right. Or anything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a woman fighting over a purse, right? Yanking back and forth on a guy trying to snatch her purse, ends up getting shot and killed over it.
Right.
You go, let it go. And when it happens, and then run away.
Right.
Don't be standing there. Get distance from the scene, whatever it is. They want the car, jump out, toss the keys to them, and then just run like crazy.
But don't you think that's just a knee-jerk reaction? It's just nature. It's mine. Like, no, you can't have it. You just want to pull it
back
in. Absolutely.
No, it's mine. You can't have it. Mm-hmm. I worked hard for that.
Yeah.
That's why I think you have to put it in your head ahead of time and really drill it in. If this happens, if you got three young people with guns pointed at you, no, do not get into a gunfight. Don't get in an argument. They're crazy as hell.
Anyway,
there's something bad wrong with these people. You just need to get away and call the insurance company, call the police department. It's going to be a pain, but I'm not going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life or in a grave.
Right.
So that. But
then there's the school of thought that, well, they don't want to leave any, you know, witnesses, so... You know, maybe
you know,
I got it.
Funny, that hardly ever happens.
Yeah,
that just doesn't happen. Huh. Yeah, they just want the car, they want the thing,
and get
they
away
just want
fast.
You're just an impediment. You just kind of get away. Typically, they don't shoot people if you. I mean, yes, sometimes it happens, but typically they don't shoot people if you throw your wallet to them and run. If you throw your purse at them and run. If you just open the door.
Yeah, they got the main thing they wanted, right? Yeah. I guess
they
that
got
makes sense.
That. And you just remove your... Now, if you stand around and mouth off at them, yeah, you're liable to get shot.
Right.
But just, I mean, feet don't fail me now. Let's go. We're getting out of here. So, but again, I think to your point, Michelle, it's so human nature of us to say no, that you would have to actually program yourself ahead of time that if this happens, I will do that. Now, if it's one guy and he's doing a carjacking and if I got my gun and I in my head, a carjacking is a lethal attack. If somebody's got a gun, they're pointed at me. I might respond with my gun. I don't know. The problem is you don't know if there really is just that one person. There may be somebody on the other side you can't see.
Yeah, and it also depends if you got kids or grandkids in the car. That totally changes everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, at that point you say, look, let me get everybody out of the car. It's your car. That's fine. You got it all. No worries. You know, just let me get my kids out.
But if I can shoot you while you're pulling away, Your Honor.
I would, you know, that sends you to jail when you do that. There's a guy just got arrested for shooting a guy who was running out of the store, who was robbed the store, turned around, ran, and the clerk shot him.
Yeah.
And
once the threat's over,
And the robber turns and shoots the clerk. And they won't charge the robber because they said now it was self-defense on his part.
Oh, jeez.
You've got to be kidding. But couldn't they charge him for being involved in a felony that
they're not going to charge him with the murder of this guy because they said once he started running away, he was not a threat
to
this guy.
Right. Yeah, no, I get the logic,
Yeah, and you're going, okay. And that once again, same deal, is you have to work on your head ahead of time to say, if somebody is running away, if I point a gun at them, they turn around and run, it's over.
It's done with, yeah.
Don't chase them. Don't do, you know, you don't know what's going on out there. But also, you can't shoot somebody that's driving away, running away. No, it's over. The only thing you have a gun to do is to keep them off of you, to keep yourself safe. Not to enforce the law, not to catch the bad guy, and not to punish anybody. And there's this... there's a whole head game mindset thing you got to work on. So anyway, Michelle, what are you seeing? People in the stores these days?
Yeah, people are in the stores. Of course, we've got Christmas going, and we just finished up our deer season here in Ohio. So that was a quick week and done.
did you get out?
I did not. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. But that's a little bit of everything. People are still looking for, you know, things they're looking for. And some of the things have been on the list for a while. So, you know, you still can't find a lot of the big revolvers, the GP100s. You can't find, somebody actually called today and said they did find the Springfield Armory SA-35. So that was fun.
That's
to
good.
Hear.
Glad to hear they're out there.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to think, does it really exist?
Is it out there? Right. So
I just got an email from a guy who said he can't find any 327 federal ammo.
Nope.
What are you seeing?
Nope. Not finding that either. I have a lady that is in love with it just like I am and can't find enough ammunition to satisfy. So it is a tough one. But revolver ammo has consistently been difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, it just hasn't gotten better recently. So, but we're hopeful. You know, we can catch up with all of this. Yeah. I don't really know what this is, in air quotes, like what we're saying we're going to catch up from or what we're going to get back to normal from. But whatever it is, it's affecting everybody.
It is. And you're right. It's kind of like, okay, we've kind of gone through the whole shortage from Barack Obama, from Bill Clinton, from Joe Biden. We should be over that at this point. So why don't we have all the ammo we want? Why don't we have all the guns that we want? And I agree with you. I don't know what this thing is that's going on.
Right. You just hear, you know, that's I guess, a good answer from sales representatives or whatnot, because maybe they don't really know what's going on. I don't know if it's still a workforce issue or, you know, what it is.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, look, if Burger King's having trouble getting people to work, everybody's having trouble, you know, getting people to work. I know that I see the ads all the time that the gun companies are hiring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, SIG is putting things out on Twitter of, hey, if you want to work for, you know, a gun company or an ammo company, because they're making ammo too, or this or that, we're looking for this position, we're looking for that position. So they're trying to fill the slots.
Right.
Could be part of it.
It could be.
I don't know. It's like, you know, Ruger, I don't think they're making any of their Model 77 rifles right now.
Oh, gosh, I haven't seen one in a long time.
No. They're making the Americans, but I don't think they're making any 77s.
Yeah, I don't know if it's it seems to all be centered around anything that is the heavy steel. So anything that would require a lot of steel is what we're having a problem getting.
Interesting.
So
as a result of that, are the prices of used guns going up?
Well, our store doesn't play that game, so I can't answer for everybody, but... I mean, I'm sure, yes, if somebody wants something, they'll pay enough for it, you know, but I mean, we don't do that. That's not the way we operate.
No, I know.
But I suppose there's people out there that do that. I mean, we went to a collector show not too long ago and prices were still pretty high.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So I suppose there's just not enough
supply.
Watch
them on the online sites, you know, the gun broker, the auction sites, and they're running up there pretty high. It's like when you see a Remington 700, just a regular old 700, going for $1,500, $1,600, you go, wow, that's something
else. Steep, yeah.
It is.
Makes you want to go home and clean out your safe. But then you don't want to get rid of it because you know you can't replace it.
That's the problem. See, okay, I'll get rid of it. Now what am I going to buy? Oh, yeah, I got to go pay that much to replace it. So that's not working for me.
We had a friend that was involved, unfortunately, in an accident that totaled their vehicle, and they can't.
And it wasn't
vehicle.
Tom Hanning?
No. But I know him. I know that situation. But, you know, they can't even find a car.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And nothing's available open to order it. It's not in that time frame. So
if you don't buy some off the lot, you're screwed.
It's crazy.
Now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So it's everywhere.
I was kind of prowling the Ford dealership, and it's like, you know, what do you got in four-wheel drive? I was looking for that Expedition, that long thing. Forget. Two things. One is, we don't have much, and we got those two over there, and we'll swap you this for your house.
Yeah.
Like,
that car 3 years ago was $60,000. Now we'll accept $85,000.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's about the right number.
It is.
It's eye-watering.
Yeah.
Try to get a deal and watch the salesman laugh you out the door. What's the best price you can do? You're looking at it.
You next.
Yeah. Best price I can do or will do. Two different things.
That's when I say, you guys take ammo and trade?
Right. There you go.
I got a brick of nine. I know what it's worth. No lowballing.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
Well. Yeah, and yet, some ammo is available real easy. Speaking of nines, I mean, 9.556 stuff.
Come back.
Yep.
Everywhere. And prices are, I mean, pretty competitive, really.
Yes. Yep.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I know what my Christmas gift for myself is going to be.
And?
Oh?
A new safe.
Do you want to tell yourself?
A new safe.
Yeah.
I have no room.
Aww.
By the time I pack all those bodies into my existence,
Oh my gosh.
Seriously, I have no more room. I can put a few important papers in there still, but I can't put another gun in there. It's like, this is crazy. I want to give these a little bit of room.
I can help you with that. I can take a few home with this.
Yeah, I bet you could.
just temporary, we'll take them for you.
Yeah, I'll rehome it.
Space for you. Yeah,
storage fee. Yeah,
you can come visit them now and then.
Maybe if you talk nice, we can get it cleaned and oiled.
Okay, great.
Well, that's actually a pretty good Christmas present for yourself to get another gun safe.
It's practical, yeah.
It is very practical, and Lord knows you'll have it forever.
And.
Did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I'm tired of. I'm forcing my door shut.
Right.
The other thing I thought about is too. And now I space these guns out. I'm still going to have 3/4 of the room in the new safe, and you know what that means?
Fill it up.
Fill it up. Right. Yep.
Yeah, that problem. You know, if you've got like a lot of extra space in a gun safe, that really is a self-correcting problem.
Right. Well, they say one of the...
It just takes care of itself.
Right. They say one of the first things to correcting addiction is realizing and admitting it. That's my issue. Oh, you can't have...
It's
just like equipment in an audio rack. Oh, there's 2 blank spaces. We can't have that. We got to buy something to put in there.
Buy something to slide in there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Same thing.
Well, I mean, I'll admit, I bought another safe about a month or so ago.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Same deal. It's like, okay, this is getting stupid out here, cramming everything in. And at a certain point, thinking, and some things are not in the safe that need to be in the safe.
Correct? Well, and you just had the fire and everything passed through, too. So I'm sure the thought process is a little bit different with, okay, what are we going to do?
You do get to thinking a little bit about that stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. We just had to evacuate out of the house, what can we take and what do we have to leave?
Right.
And what's going to be here when we come back?
And so your fire rating's not important, Tom?
Something I'll pay attention to.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of inconvenient having your go bag be a safe. Just not practical.
It doesn't make for quickness.
Yeah.
You can put a little 20 horsepower Briggs and Stratton on that baby and some wheels. We're going to drive our safe out of here.
Don't give him that idea.
I'll be right back.
I see something going on in the garage.
He's already tinkering welding back there. I know.
Yeah,
there you go. A speed safe. I like it. Well, that's the one you want if you're in a demolition derby.
A speed safe? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just smash into people with it.
I like that.
Oh, well. Well, all righty then. It is that season. I guess the only thing I would say, Michelle, to encourage people is waiting to the last minute is a really bad idea if you're waiting to go to a gun store, because people will pick them over pretty hard.
Yep.
Which, get out there, do it now.
Right.
In fact, you could almost say you're late as of right now.
Right. Well, shipping now is an issue with some of these companies too. So, now the orders are coming in and they have the product, but now to get it out of the warehouse is going to be an issue.
Oh, yeah. from the distributor to you guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Are you finding any differences between domestic manufactured firearms and overseas imported stuff? Or as far as availability and
well, for the longest time, I'll be honest with you, what we could find was the imported stuff. So a lot of the shotguns and stuff were coming in from Turkey, and they were really filling that void. But I think slowly we've gotten back into having like the Mossbergs and the Winchesters and Brownings and stuff back here again. Although Brownings, I know, are made in Japan. But they're starting to catch up, and we're starting to see more, which was a missing spot, and it was really a 22? You can't find a 22.
Yeah.
So even the pistols are starting to come back in, and a few more revolvers, when you go shopping for the concealed carry, the LCRs and bodyguards and that type of thing, they're out there.
Right.
So.
And we talked to Chris Colloy, what was it, Friday, Jim? We did that. We actually recorded our Christmas show. From Ruger. He said that they will be having the handgun caliber lever actions out fairly early next year.
Really?
Cool. That is cool.
And he said almost immediately they're just about to release the 336, which is the 30-30. And I think, he didn't say it, but I think I remember somebody there saying they were also going to offer that in 35 Remington, which would be very cool.
That would be cool.
I like
blast
that
from the past there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think 350 Legend would be cool. Not old school. I get it, but still.
Yeah, it would be cool. And why not? It's a good cartridge.
Yeah.
Well, they have it. You know. Yeah. I mean, they have a 6.5 Creedmoor for Pete's sake and a lever.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
You know.
I would think.
And then, of course, Browning and their lever action, they actually have modern cartridges like 708s and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different lockup system on their lever action, though.
Right.
Pretty cool. So, there you go.
Cool, cool.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, good luck with the safe hunt.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, the good news is, they will sell it to you. They'll either deliver it or are you going to pick it up?
Actually, I got a local buddy of mine.
Yeah, he's been working
it.
Out.
No, actually, I have a buddy. It's a cool story. A buddy of mine buys pallets of stuff and, you know, resells it to get his money back and make a little profit. And one of the things he bought was like a $600 safe. I'm like, what do you want for a safe? He goes, I don't know. Give me $150. I'm
stop.
Like, sold.
No.
Quit it.
Yeah.
Jim, you step in stuff, I tell you.
Yeah, he does. He lands right in that. Well, if you don't buy that, you're a knucklehead.
Well, he's already holding it for me. It's just a matter of fact, getting him to with my truck emptied out and a couple guys to help me put it in place.
And then you need a pallet jack. And you need
I'm sick. I need to go home.
Yeah, I need help. And all of a sudden, Michelle's unavailable.
She knows where it is. She's gone.
Yeah. How many stairs are we going up?
Yeah. I said, well, Michelle said she was picking it up for you, Jim. I don't understand.
That's why I heard it. Yeah.
Oh. And Michelle goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. And I don't, what safe?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Well.
Well, I'm looking at, I mean, talk about old cartridges. I just have to say, I'm looking at a couple of 280s. So going, yeah, it's a great caliber.
Ackley?
Well, there's the Ackley, but just the regular old 280 was
standard
good.
280, yeah.
I'm kind of, here's the deal with the Ackleys. I've kind of come to the realization, as cool as they are, and like the cool kids always want the Ackleys, it's 100 feet per second.
That's
what
the difference.
100,
really?
Maybe max, 150 feet per second more.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Assuming you have the ammo for it.
Yeah. And that's just, it doesn't make any difference in a hunting situation.
Right.
It's not going to make a difference on a deer or an elk or anything else. So,
right. But that's half the fun of it.
It is fun to tinker with them. It is.
Yeah, but I mean, that's half the fun of, you know, hunting stories and splitting hairs over, you know, 6.5 versus 2.70 versus, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love the guys that, you know, love the 6.5 Creedmoor, never heard of the 6.5 by 55 Swede.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, throwing
the same bow at the same velocity. You're going, really? Yeah, well. And then that's when we all end up saying, you kids. Oh, well.
You youngsters.
But, yeah, really, I'm just, you know, seriously, if you found, like, a cool old rifle and it was in a caliber you don't know anything about, you might just do a quick search online and go, oh, 6.5 Swede or the, you know, 7x61 Sharp and Hard or whatever it is. And they actually find out, oh, there's actually ammo available for some of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's really esoteric, yeah.
And nobody else wants it because it's weird.
Right.
And you could get it for a
which is more the reason Gresham has it in his cart already.
Why do you think? Because I like that weird stuff.
I know. Touché. Good for you.
People go, what is that? Never heard of that. Yeah, I know. It's fine. it's fine. And they're no good. You wouldn't want one. They just bounce off.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yeah, they're horrible. Laminated beams, never going to go through it.
There you go. That's it. Well, you guys have a great week. Let's see. Next week, I'm doing it from down there at the office gym.
Nice. Cool.
Oh, so, yeah.
So you need me to fly down to give you technical advice.
Some advice,
there, so.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're doing the class with TGO, the great one.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Latham. So that'll be
kind of Latham and Serino together. You get two of the best instructors there are, but you also get a comedy show.
I was just going to say, you get the comedy act in the middle of it. Yeah. It's like there ought to be a cover charge, you know, and a little table you set up with a little lamp on top of it, you know, watching the act, going, holy cow, this is going to be fun.
But you wonder if they've already worked out all their laughter. You know what I mean? You try to get past some of that stuff and be like, okay.
No.
You know,
no.
It's a lifestyle.
You're assuming there's actually prep that goes into this.
Sorry. Yeah, yes, you're right.
With those guys, you could offer the classes. It's free to come to the class. You have to pay to leave.
Yeah, that's right.
No, a different twist.
But yeah, they're, you know, I'm sure they kind of have an outline of who's going to teach what.
Oh, I'm sure.
But beyond that, it's like, these guys don't have to prep for this stuff.
Oh,
yeah, but
no.
Even with guys that silly, they have a way of using that to get their point across and drive it home. And that's the beauty of it.
Teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
No, exactly right. That's it was just one of those things that's, I don't know when it would happen again. Mm-hmm. Although if it goes as well as I think it will, we'll probably try to bring Rob back at some point to do this. Because why would, I mean, next time it's like, okay, we're going to do Hellcats this time. Maybe you bring him back and say, we're going to do an all 1911 class.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. There's an idea. There's an idea.
I bet there's no one that would sign up for that class.
Oh, no, 19. Those are old. Those are so outdated.
19 what?
Yeah, that's right. No, I want the new one. I want the 1912.
Okay. Yeah. 1911, which came out, what, 1906? Wasn't it? Wasn't something
1905,
like that?
The original cartridge right. gun was 1905, yeah. But with a little different designation, and then finally was adopted by the military in 1911.
Yep.
So, but what does Tom know about this subject?
Yeah, no, not much.
I just, you know, thank God for internet searches.
You're right. Yeah, well, that was quick. That's a good search.
Quick typist, right?
There you go.
I use three fingers now. I've upgraded.
Wow. Ooh.
Two fingers.
Yeah, holy cow. He's on the move.
All right, guys. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week unless they figure out what we're up to and shut us down.
Yeah, stay safe until then, at least.
All right, and then we'll have the report on the fun class. I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have a ball, buddy.
Take care.
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
We'll catch you next time for the Gun Talk After Show.